Cascadia and the edge of the world, Euphemet presents Night Drift with Jim Perry.
From the hinterlands, concealed by fog, at the intersection of society and strange, this is an interview series about the unknown and our relationship to it. Produced by the documentary podcast series Euphemet, here we commune and wander through the big wonder with guests who are thinkers, explorers, experiencers of the phenomena that is on the edge of it all. This is Night Drift, and I'm Jim Perry. Tonight we have guest Bex Atwood. They return for more liminal reports, this time some very personal cryptid encounters. She'll tell us all about her trip actually out to the Oregon coast, my neck of the woods, and who, just miles from where I am right now, could be legendary creatures, and how she might be inclined to believe this. That how and why is very important in that, and I can't wait to hear this very personal encounter. We'll jump right into that conversation in just a minute, but thank you for listening tonight, and thank you for listening for the last 2 years. There's something I need to talk to you about before we get started. Night Drift, as you know, began during those bad old days of lockdown. It was an ends to a means, a way to keep in contact with you and other friends. We held the recordings live in Zoom rooms for patrons like you. And it quickly became a social club, a community. It was an outlet. And that led to it becoming a live radio show in Seattle on KKNW, live right now in the Puget Sound. And that was all while the world shifted again and allowed us to engage in person. And our context for all of this changed. And for over 2 years, this little bonus show kept on, expanding the voices and ideas, leaving us to really wander in the wonder together. And sometimes some of those ideas, some of those voices were even challenging. But now, like many things birthed in that surreal time, it's time for finally a rest and for space to best allow the true nature to be revealed. So I'm pausing Night Drift, and this will be the final live show, at least for a while. And listen, it's exciting for me because it will give me the time I need to fully focus on Euphemet again. But it also pains me a little bit because I so enjoy connecting with you on this platform. You know, I get so many great emails with people after the show airs. And once the show goes live on the Euphemet podcast feed, so much incredible enjoyment by the messages and conversations I receive. And just under the surface of what this radio broadcast is really a special community that has been built. A lot of people facing a lot of stuff at the same time. All of us, I suppose, burying ourselves in the paranormal, the supernatural, and magic, the occult, in hidden history and mysteries. Some people get a little tired of me saying that we're all in this together and mentioning things in that way, but it's the only way I know how. And it's one of the things that interests me about this the most. So with all that, I want to thank our producer, Odie Ortiz, and everyone at KKNW, Harmony, Tiffany, Eric, and we'll see you all again at KKNW, I'm sure. And I'll always appreciate so much the new friends I've made by opening myself up on this little bonus show. And don't worry, you'll keep seeing and hearing plenty of Bex, Darcy, Tim, Andrew, John, Daniel, and the rest. But mostly, I want to thank you. You know, in radio, not often does the host, as the creator of a show, get an opportunity to actually say that. In an industry that, once you're in, seems as if it's been around since the dawn of time and has practices that sometimes therein feel like they've been around forever. It's so encouraging to be able to have a platform where, as a documentarian, I can strip that away and just talk to you as a fellow human wondering what all this means. So thank you so much for being on this ride. All right, let's get into a really fun show. We'll talk a little bit about some of the points of the history of the show, and even on the podcast feed, I may post some best of material and some, you know, extra commentary around that to finish out the year before I really kind of cut the cord and go into my hobbit hole and, you know, pull John McEdward in and just work on Euphemet feverishly. A really incredible season that is developing very fast. But let's get right into it. Night Drift reporter, liminal investigator, someone very important to this program, Bex Atwood, is here with us. Bex, welcome to Night Drift.
Hi, everybody. It's such an honor to be here for the last show. I got to say that.
Yeah, well, you know, it made a lot of sense. You are the show's lone reporter out there in the field, boots on the ground. That's something, of course, as you know, and anyone who's listened to Euphemet for any period of time or heard me on other appearances, that's something that's really close to my heart. People getting out there, talking with experiencers, and then really kind of having those experiences themselves. Bex, how would you qualify the feeling that you had once you realized that you were a full-time boots on the ground investigator out there?
Oh my goodness. I think it hits you, you know, in the weirdest of times. I think it hit me when I started working with Liminal Earth and we started, you know, getting a lot more submissions to the map and started, you know, working with people physically in person again. I think it really hit me just while I was driving one day, probably wandering around that old peninsula that I love so much.
Yeah.
And it just kind of hit me like, oh my goodness, I 100% of my mind right now is thinking about this case and, oh, this person that I'm going to meet and this weird thing that I heard last night from a friend. And it all just kind of quantifies into like the, oh my gosh, this is it. Like this is, yeah. This is without planning, without any sort of idea, you know, I just found myself right where I felt like I was supposed to be. And that's such a wonderful feeling. And I'm sure that you can relate to that a bit.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling, and it's one that I hope anyone listening right now has had or is looking to achieve. Those times where everything seems to be aligned and you're like, this is exactly where I am meant to be.
Yes.
You found yourself in a place where you, where you may have felt like you were not supposed to be. And that was, or you know, I'm assuming at this point in time, based off the story you're going to tell, that is maybe the case, but maybe it was transcendental. Maybe it was life-changing in very affirming ways. But you came out here to the Oregon coast and you experienced some pretty incredible stuff. Take us to where I am right now. Take us to the Oregon coast and tell me a little bit about your trip.
Would love to. I think, you know, to start off, it's really funny how it was so fun being in Jim's town, just being like, I wonder where Jim's at. Like, I'm here eating. I'm at this Starbucks. Oh, I'm at Goodwill. I wonder if I'll like run into him, you know? Yeah. I loved that. Of course, you know, our plans were conflicted, so we weren't able to see each other, which is like totally fine. I think we're gonna have our time very soon.
Just to qualify for listeners so they do not think that I was avoiding you or that I did not take special, you know, care. I was out of town.
Geez.
I was already on my way to Seattle for a Defy thing and didn't line up, and I was very crushed about this because you were there at my Starbucks. You were there near my friend Meyer and all the wonderful things we have in this rural community. And I was nowhere to be seen. And that was a shame to this entire program. And
oh my goodness.
I am ashamed of it.
That was so dramatic. I love it. No, it's totally fine because it was a family vacation. So I was already getting like some vibes of like, hey, family time. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, funny enough, what fit into family time was a paranormal experience, as you would have it. And it was a trip where, you know, we're getting to like the final day. And we had done all the things that like my aunt had done, like wanted to do. We went to the fancy restaurant that my cousin went to. Like everyone kind of got their wish. But, you know, secretly I was like, I wish I could, you know, go somewhere haunted, go experience something fun, get some, sure, get some research down. That's kind of what was on my wish list. And, you know, we're leaving Lincoln City. And my cousin says to me, like, hey, I found this incredible waterfall hike. It's only 3 miles. Let's do this. Like, we can't regret not going. You know, we are flying out at 2 a.m, but let's do this. And I was like, absolutely. And on the way up, you know, we were cracking jokes of like, if how thick the old growth forests are, if Bigfoot or a cryptid were to exist in the woods, it would 100% be this one, because you can't even see 5 feet in front of you. And it's just so ancient and beautiful. And, you know, the feelings that you get there are, they make you feel very small.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so, you know, we're in this beautiful woods and we are on this trail and we're going. And this is the perfect time of year on the West Coast to find mushrooms. And so there were so many varieties. I was stopping every 5 seconds. And Marley, my cousin, by her nature, is like the person who's always a bit ahead hiking and is kind of scouting the corner. And she crosses this bridge and we're looking at these mushrooms on this log, right? And Marley yells over to us and says, why did you guys throw that rock at me? And, you know, Donnie, her husband, and I look up and we're like, what are you talking about? Like, we are enthralled in this mushroom. What do you mean? And so we walk over to her, we cross this little footbridge, and we're looking around and we're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, you know, if we didn't throw it, maybe, you know, something just fell. I don't know. So we keep going. And anytime she kind of starts to bring it up, she'd be like, I don't know. Another one would happen.
Oh my gosh.
It would either go right in front of her and like bounce off of the path, or it would go right behind her and like hit her shoe or almost hit one of us. And so we immediately look to our left and we're like, that's not a pretty significant hill. I don't know what would cause a rock to roll downwards. And the trajectory was pretty horizontal when I saw it cross her. Like, I don't know how that would happen exactly. But let me tell you, we were writing it off until like the ninth time. And let me tell you, there were more than nine times that this has happened.
What?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So we cross, you know, ravines. We are down at the flat bottoms of a river. We are at the top of this, you know, it's a very small mountain at one point. We're crossing all this different terrain, and this is continuing to happen to us. But what's weird is that after the third or fourth time, we started hearing these birds, and we started to correlate, like, okay, every time a rock is thrown, we would hear these birds just freak out. And they, very alarming, but it wasn't like a raven or anything. It wasn't a call that I was really familiar with. Not that I'm an expert or anything, but you know, it started to give you the alarm bell vibes, and it would happen every time that we would have a rock situation, and the size of the rocks started to get a little bigger. I have a picture of one of the impacts that the rock had made into the muddy path in front of us. And it was about 2 inches at least deep, the impact itself, and it broke the rock.
Oh my gosh.
There was one that would hit the tree that I had just walked in front of, and it would break off pieces of the bark. And where it would hit, it was almost to eye level to me. And if a rock, it was wild. And we were oh my gosh, just for peace of mind and just to like enjoy our hike, we were like, no, this is just some weird anomaly. And I mean, we're pretty remote, we're pretty far out there, and it's, I mean, almost dark. There's no one else on the trail, and there's no way that anyone could have like an elevation gain and still be on some developed trail, still be on some like non-bramble terrain. So
Right.
that's what was really confusing. And then the force of the impact of these rocks, wherever it hit, would just get greater and greater. And we eventually got to this suspended drawbridge. And it was a big one, a long one, a scary one. But we made it through, saw this beautiful waterfall. We took the pictures and
Yeah.
realized that daylight was low. We should get back. Once we crossed that bridge again, the activity happened the entire way back. And then we crossed that final little bridge that we thought started it all. And so we started talking like, oh, this isn't going to happen now. That's where it started. What do you know? A rock flew right in front of my face and hit the tree to my left. And I have a video of like the impact, what you see on the path, the broken rock. We took some of the rocks. We're just like, this feels like we need to keep some of these.
Wow.
But we ended the hike by leaving an offering on one of the tree stems at the trailhead, because we were just under the impression that, well, I guess like the general feeling that we got was we were there too late. Maybe they're used to hikers leaving by a certain time. And it's smart, everything comes out at night. You probably shouldn't be hiking in the mountains at night if you want to be safe.
Right.
But it kind of, we got the vibe that like we were like definitely late, and they were taking over. That was their property and their time more than anything. And so we were like, we have upset somebody, clearly. We're going to leave. We had a blueberry tamale, which in itself is incredible. We left a blueberry tamale, and I had picked a single poppy that I thought was really strange growing out of season and just by itself. So I had like this little orange flower, and so I put it on the altar, and we said a little something, and we're just kind of like, we apologized, we did this, we needed this trip because of the craziness we had experienced earlier in the week. Like, please understand, but also we understand you. If folks listening, if you don't know what I'm alluding to by this point, we
Yeah,
suspect.
break it down. Unpack this for us in terms of what, how this is in comparison to what other people have experienced and what they believe it is.
Right. So, we suspect that we encountered Bigfoot, Sasquatch. We never saw anything. I have so many videos that I've watched again and again that I shot during that whole time just scouring the woods. I tried to, every time a rock was flown, I was pretty much recording the whole time now that I think about it, which is, good, I guess. But the footage is blank. I mean, and there's a couple in my photo album. I'll have to send you a screenshot and post it for the viewers. But
Oh, yes, please.
there's like five or six images or videos that are just whited out. Like I can't click on them, they're corrupted files. And if you scroll through my entire photo gallery, I've, been all over the country, and that's never been the case. Not
Yeah.
saying that that's necessarily paranormal, but it's odd because I was not able to capture anything whatsoever other than like the aftermath of what had happened. I couldn't ever get anything while it was happening, and I know that I recorded during. Very popular Bigfoot happenings that you hear a lot in reports are rocks being thrown, a lot of tech disturbances, weird smells, which we actually didn't experience, and then sightings, whoopings, tree thumps. I did my little hoot that scared the bejesus out of Garrett 2 years ago. And nothing like that sufficed. But I think what stands out about my experience was we were very spooked, and we knew what was happening. We were very familiar with Bigfoot lore, but it to the extent of how it was happening, I haven't heard of yet. And my personal experience is not saying that it hasn't, Would love to hear, obviously, stories if anyone's familiar of just a constant overflowing.
Right.
But you know, that's what stood out to me. And then having those the blank photos, and then being able to see the force of the rocks and being able to take some of those rocks home. I believe with WUFO, we actually the following week I told the story, and then we meditated with the rocks, and I held the rocks while I did an Estes method session.
And was it anything revealed? Do you think you learned anything from that?
It's interesting. In the moment, nothing stood out, but the guys and I were dissecting this afterwards, and it almost, in a very short and crass way, it sounded like Bigfoot was giving me life advice because I was going through it. I was in a huge transition, and I was getting the feeling I was very overwhelmed of like, is it too soon for me to be back here? Is it too soon? There's a lot of unresolved stuff here, and like I was like apologizing to the woods for leaving, you know, and that stuff.
Right.
And
Yeah.
so the things that were coming through the Estes, it was like life advice. So like
Yeah.
trusting in yourself more, and you know, taking the next step and things like that. And so, you know, out of this whole experience, however I felt in the moment, I like to look back on it as like, oh, I was able to get my wish, my travel wish, my birthday wish of something paranormal happening, right? But then on a deeper level, I think Bigfoot gave me life advice. So I'm excited to have my new life coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, geez, that's amazing. I mean, first of all, I'm glad you are all okay and none of those rocks connected. You shared one of the photos with me of one of the rocks, and it was like, oh my God, if that would have connected with you, that would have been terrible,
Yes.
especially where this place is. Now, are you comfortable with sharing the location of where this happened?
I'm trying to remember. I think it's called Drift Creek.
Drift Creek
Drift Creek
Falls.
Trail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
Very it's an incredible little hiking location outside of Lincoln City. It's about 30 minutes from where I sit right now. I've been up there
it.
several times. It feels quite remote once you're out there. But it isn't super popular either. Locals, to the Lincoln City area. Let's just say us on the Oregon coast, a lot of us take it for granted. Just like anyone living in a place that's amazing, you can kind of take the location for granted. I couldn't tell you the last time I was actually, at the beach or on one of these hikes, unfortunately. And that's how it goes. And then when tourists come through, they are usually the ones that frequent these trails a lot of times. And as you were visiting in an off period of time, that trail could have been kind of, is it possible for you and your family to have disturbed something that was settling in for the season? Maybe, maybe,
Absolutely.
especially if it was like getting a little late. And also I'll add that the reported activity for Sasquatch in the coastal mountain range in which you were a part of right there is tremendous. There are organizations all throughout Oregon that cover that coastal mountain range routinely, with Bigfoot exploration and studying. So it's fascinating, Bex. I'm glad that the Oregon coast revealed to you a little bit of its dark mystery and showed you how, kind of utterly engrossing these forests are here. Sort of even more than what we are used to in the Puget Sound area, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And if anyone has any information, get a hold of Bex, get a hold of me. That's jim@eufemet.com. And this is one of the problems with not continuing the show for a while, is that I want to go and do a remote at Drift Creek. I want to drive up there, like right after we talk, and do a little recording. And maybe I get a little something thrown at me. But there's no show next week. So I'd have to write a Medium article about it or something. I don't know.
You can write about it on
Hey, there we go. Nice plug too.
liminal.earth. Shameless plug. Thank you. I'm getting
I'm a
better
professional
this last episode.
at this. Knows how
Finally
to do
getting
radio
comfortable.
and yeah. All right.
Give
We
me a
have to
show.
take yes, exactly. We have to take a break here. This is Night Drift. After this, more with Bex and more cryptids here on Night Drift. I'm Jim Perry.
Follow Night Drift with Jim Perry on Spotify and subscribe on Apple Podcasts to receive new episodes of Night Drift automatically and gain access to all of our past episodes. Night Drift with Jim Perry on Alternative Talk 1150 AM KKNW Seattle. Now, here again is Jim.
This is Night Drift. I'm Jim Perry. We now have an ad-free Euphemet podcast feed for subscribers to our Patreon, and you can use it wherever you listen to podcasts. Go to euphemet.com and just click the top banner. You can become a patron today, unlock ad-free shows, and also access the occasional hangout. Thank you, of course, to those that have subscribed. Night Drift Liminal reporter Bex Atwood is here with us tonight. She just shared her Sasquatch appearance experience in the woods of Oregon. And coming up, we're going to ask her if she's experienced other Sasquatch personal activity before and what people are reporting out there. But as I had mentioned, this is our last broadcast for a while. Taking a pause to focus on the Euphemet podcast, a little writing, a little realigning. And then at some point in time, we will reemerge back on the airwaves, I am sure. But for now, just a little pause. And because of that, and because I'm doing a lot of looking back, I revisited some of the older episodes this week. God, it was just such a great journey we've been on. And the world has changed so much since then, just in 2 years. It's crazy to think about. Makes me emotional. But as this is our last for a while, I wanted to bring on our producer, Odie Ortiz, for a second. And Odie, you know, thank you so much for everything that you've done for this program over this duration.
Yeah, thank you, Jim.
Yeah, and I know you're a little under the weather tonight, so I appreciate you joining in courageously here. Please cough and sneeze as much as you want on air, because we're going wild and we're going out with a bang. All right, so yeah, see, there you go. Yeah, exactly. Listen, I was wondering if you had any favorite moments from Night Drift.
Yeah, I have a couple. I think the first one was the first show that I was left alone in the studio, and it was like you and I's first time being alone with each other. Mm-hmm. because I did so many mistakes and I had so many panic attacks, but you were over Zoom, so you had no idea what was going on my side. And I was fighting back tears multiple times throughout the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was texting Harmony like, yo, is this... And she wasn't responding, by the way. So I just had to wing it. And by the end of the show, when we had our little debrief, you're like, hey, you did well. And I'm like, cool. Because that's not how I was feeling at all.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you hid that so well.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And I think the other show that really, like, rings a bell whenever I think about Night Drift is the one where we had, I think the plant's name was Flo? Or, no.
Bex,
Coco.
What?
Coco.
Yeah, Coco, right?
Coco. That gives me so much joy because I was dog-sitting for those, like, for that family that I was telling you about earlier, and I was watering their plants that day, just thinking, like, am I doing a good enough job watering this grass? Like, I'm not watering the grass. I'm only watering the flowers. And then that Sunday, we have Coco on, and we have, like, the segment with the Russians about that they can feel pain.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Plants. Mm-hmm. It just made me feel so, like, whoa.
Yeah.
It
confirmed your thoughts around that, right? Your concerns were validated.
Yeah. And I felt so bad.
That's awesome.
Now
that's
awesome.
That's one that I definitely will never forget. Either we did the first live interview with a plant in the history of broadcasting.
Yes, I think we did.
You know, I'll tell you what. I was at the Radio Hall of Fame in Chicago a few months ago, and I did bring up to the kind gentleman of our accolades. And that's when he allowed me into the hollowed WGN radio booth, in which I was able to mock as if I was doing a show there. And it was because he knew we were a big deal and we're over here interviewing plants for the first time ever.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah. thank you again, Odie. You're a joy to work with, and I can't wait to continue the show with you at some point here in the future.
I don't hide it from my other shows. You are my favorite show to work with and to produce. The feeling is mutual.
Yeah, thank you so much, bud. Now, get back to the office. All right, we're going to get into another story here from Bex, and I will set it up in this way. And I want to ask you whether, and I know you have a story, but I'm going to be radio guy here and ask you if you've ever had another personal experience with Bigfoot that, you know, you were reminded of in the heat of that moment, you know, a month or two ago.
Why, yes, Jim, I actually have. I've had one other experience, and I mean, there's about 11 or 12 years between the two. So this experience happened back in 2010, 2011, and it was in southern Indiana, of all places. And this isn't a location that I really feel personally is, like, you know, loaded full of Bigfoot lore. You know, there's some stuff on the liminal map. There's some stuff on the internet if you look hard enough, but it's never really been considered a hotspot. Growing up there, I heard about dogmen a lot, so that was kind of where my mind went to. But the physical description of this Bigfoot is so different and interesting to me. So I love telling this story whenever it comes up. But it's pretty short and sweet. I was just on a back road one night with some buddies, and I believe it was close to or on prom night. But I was pretty young. I didn't do anything like too unsavory back then. So there's nothing that could have, like, altered our perceptions here. That night, I think, like, a new metal album came out. So we were just cruising and listening. And we take this curve, and driver slams on the brakes. And as he does, I look up suddenly, and we see something that's almost completely white, but approximately 8 feet or so tall. It crosses, like, the last half of the road in, like, a step and a half. And as it's starting to enter the wood line there in the ditch, it turns around and looks back at us. And it has a very pale face covered in white hair. But it was very clearly old. Like it had a lot of deep set wrinkles, and it just looked right through us. It was like it was making contact with like all eye contact with all three or four of us at once, is how we kind of compared it.
Oh my gosh.
But that was, just off the top of my head, one of the first moments where I had something like non-dead human happen to me, or something that I experienced that kind of started to test those paranormal boundaries farther than, like, you know, the Travel Channel would have you believe at that time, right?
So, right. Oh my gosh.
It was really wild. And it was something that silenced, you know, the car ride home, and it took a while for us to talk about it. It was wild.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing, Bex. That's wild. And yeah, how does it not shape your inclination about what this stuff is and the possibility that exists? I mean, from that point on, were you basically just super open to the possibility of Bigfoot, Sasquatch, of this, you know, sort of mythical cryptid?
Absolutely. And, you know, you're familiar with my nature. I dove headfirst into research and scoured, you know, earlier Google, and was just kind of like, hey, especially in Indiana, I was like, what is going on here? Has anyone else experienced this? Funny enough, I put this on the Liminal Earth map a year or two ago, right? And we received a white Bigfoot report about 2 hours northwest of where I had seen it.
Oh my gosh, really?
I would love to share that link with you, and I could post that as well. I can just do like a, where I posted like the shout out to the show tonight, I can just start a thread of evidence from our conversations, right? Okay, everyone look out for that.
Yeah,
but I was loving that because I had never heard of that outside of like Tibet, Nepal. You know, it's Yeti is the name that we are familiar with. And so, you know, I'm like, I don't know. I just think this is like a really old Bigfoot or something.
Yeah.
But, or that's just how they choose to present themselves to us. Who knows?
So what did happen in that other sighting? Was it similar to yours as a passerby, or what was that experience like for them?
It's been a little while since I looked it up. I do believe it was also a drive-by situation.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know how backroads it was or anything. But yeah. I mean, I was close to the highway. You know, I could have been on the highway in like 10 minutes. So it's one of those things, like you said, with the Drift Creek, it feels remote once you're there, but you know, you have access if you want it.
I can't believe that you've been able to see a Sasquatch. and it makes me, you know, listen, I've seen my share of unidentified flying anomalous craft. I've seen a full-bodied apparition, right? So I feel very, very lucky that I have I've experienced a really wide range and diverse set of supernatural and strange experiences, and many of them I've shared on this very program, but I have not seen a Sasquatch. And you know, I do wonder that if I open myself up to enough to it, that my propensity to experience these things that seemingly exist based off of these things occurring one after the other for me, when I put myself in the right place, I have these experiences. I do wonder if I put myself in the right place, if I would have that experience. And that's like both exciting and very scary to think about.
That just pretty much describes the feeling of, you know, the work that we do, period.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. We are open to this, and so we may have more experiences, yet we're also open to this, so we may have more experiences. It makes those long walks through the woods a little dicey. Like, you gotta have like good mental health going into some of this stuff, I think. All right.
Very grounded.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. All right. We have to take another quick break here, but we're going to come back, more with Bex. I'm going to ask her, you know, some of her favorite moments from Night Drift, what some of her favorite reports were. And then we're going to get a little bit more into some more liminal sightings that are occurring out there. Of course, everyone go check out Liminal Earth. an interactive map that is re-mythologizing our places that we live, these places we go every day. Again, 30 minutes from me, and Bex has a Sasquatch throwing rocks at her. It's amazing. I'm Jim Perry, and this is Night Drift. We'll be right back after this.
Follow Night Drift with Jim Perry on Spotify and subscribe on Apple Podcasts to receive new episodes of Night Drift automatically and gain access to all of our past episodes. With Jim Perry on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW, Seattle. Now, here again is Jim.
I'm Jim Perry, and this is Night Drift. If listening to this is a podcast, excuse the reset here, but we're here tonight for the last time for a while, talking cryptids and looking back a little, the last 2 years of doing Night Drift. What a mixed bag of emotions I'm experiencing here at this end of the program, the last 9 minutes here for quite some time for something that we've built together. And thank you so much for being a part of this. Thank you for listening. And thank you, of course, to our liminal investigator, Bex Atwood, who is here with me tonight.
I'm here. And I'm also like, just going on an emotional roller coaster here.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, that's life right now for a lot of people, I think. I mean, I think a lot of people are in this process of change. And sometimes it takes a minute for that process of change to then be embodied and then to start taking shape within the form of what you're doing, whether that's your practice, your art, your relationships. I think it takes a little bit of time for it to transfigure into something within consensus 3D reality. And, you know, a lot of people are experiencing that personally. A lot of people are experiencing that professionally, you know, whether that's people being forced to come back into work now and they're saying, no, we're not doing that. We're gonna move to a different country because we do not want to work in an office anymore. Whether it's something like that happening or it's something like Night Drift Here Tonight, as where it's so interesting because I feel like we are in this place where things are shifting and changing. And I'm trying to be conscious of that and allow space and time for things to shift again and then to find that new voice. And I appreciate everyone, I don't know, in advance allowing me to do such a thing. And that includes you, Bex. Thank you for being on this ride and allowing space for us to revisit this again and go through this process.
Absolutely. I think all of that was really well said. And yeah, there's a lot of truth in that. And yeah, thanks for having me on. I mean, this was, you know, started out as a guest spot just to share my shenanigans. And here we are.
Your shenanigans. That's going to be your podcast name. Paranormal Shenanigans with Bex in the Liminal.
That was a deep laugh. You got that out of me.
Yeah. So, you know, when you look back at the reports that you've had for Night Drift, what are some of them or what is a report that you look back at with sort of most excitement?
Ooh, I think it's not just the nature of the report. I think it was how we gathered in, like the experiences we were having around this time. It's just very special unto me. And I have to say, it's like the Dogman triangle that we uncovered yes. when I started doing the show. And I actually just remembered, like, that was a year ago.
Yeah.
By the way, it was a year ago. And, you know, I started looking into a few Dogman reports there on the peninsula I was living on and the nearby peninsula, the Kitsap. And I found a collection of stories. But as I dug deeper, we were able to uncover some ourselves. And that led to, because of Night Drift and because of the topics we were discussing, we were able to find a few witnesses who had their own stories from the exact, you know, triangle area that we would discover. And we even had one of those guests on live. It was when I was able to go to the studio with you and Odie. And that was in itself an amazing experience. But we were able to live interview someone who, you know, found us because of the nature of the stories that we were sharing and what we were looking into at the time. And that just feels really special.
Yeah, very much so. And I'll always look back at those stories and as they were developing as some of my favorite moments in this show ever. And listen, I think there's still a great mystery out there. I think there is this other large cryptid that potentially exists within the woods of the Pacific Northwest and beyond that in some places rival the Sasquatch in terms of their presence. Now, the Dogman Triangle in Washington, I think it's a case that we need to figure out a way to continue exploring and continue to push to see what other witness stories at the very least could be revealed. Don't you think?
Oh, I'm already on it, Jim. I have a Kitsap local Facebook I'm a part of, and people are still responding to my first call out post that we did for the Dogman.
Yeah.
People are still sharing their stories a year later.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Okay. Well, we'll figure out how to display that again and in some really awesome fashion, I know. What were some of your favorite guests or guests that touched you through Night Drift?
So I have a few to just brush really quickly. I absolutely loved when you, Ryan Singer, and Trevor Noah were, it was when you guys were in the hotel room and you were just talking about all things cosmic, all things paranormal, all things life. It was a really cool round table between the three of you. And I really enjoyed that. But a guest that I, you know, was not familiar with, who really just kind of spoke to me, that episode I've watched a few times now, it was actually with Ellie Molina.
Oh, yeah.
And so she runs a PSI school for kids and adults. But, you know, as she's discussing this and as she's discussing how she got into it and everything, you know, there was this underbelly of she teaches people to like trust themselves again and to develop, you know, their psychic abilities that we believe, you know, everyone has. And that, you know, in the moment I was listening to it, Jim, I was actually in the process of driving here from Washington. I was in the process of moving.
Yeah.
And it was so special to me to get that kind of message because I had really, you know, gone on a limb and was like, well, I hope this is going to work out for me. And, you know, her message was just trust yourself and I'm here if you want to develop. And I absolutely love that. And then I loved how she's touching the lives of kids and how I would have maybe turned out differently if I had a teacher like that.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Someone I can't wait to talk with again. And I'm glad that, you know, spoke to you when you listened to it. And that's really awesome. And of course, more conversations with Ryan and Daniel to come. I can't wait to talk with those guys again once we do this again or in some other fashion, of course. Bex, as we wind down here, thank you so much for being a part of this, you know, sort of last broadcast for now. Tell me a little bit, we've only got a couple minutes here, but tell me a little bit about the big map update and what you're up to and where people can find more of your work.
Absolutely. So liminal.earth is where you can find the map. And we just did a massive autumn update to the map. We had a ton of submissions. And I mean, I checked the emails this morning. We're still receiving them. And we like to hear it. We like to see it. So we definitely have a lot of new stories. You can go straight to liminal.earth map. You can click all stories most recent. And that is the easiest way that you can find the ones that we just added. Of course, we have the random story selector as well on the website. And that's fun if you want to have like a weird form of cryptid divination. But also if you just want to dive into the map for an hour or 12. We also... I am Bex in the Liminal across the board online, and I do what I call gloomy photography, but I love taking pictures on film because of how film can be manipulated and it has like its own soul. And I take pictures in really strange places often where I'm doing research. So kind of tie in those worlds together there. And yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter. I am currently in the process of launching Mystic Photo Lab. It's a film processing company. It's a boutique experience and it's the internet's first subscription base. So I'm really excited to launch that and see y'all's film, get you more into film if you're not. I really look forward to finding new and exciting ways to share all of these stories with you guys.
Oh, fantastic, Bex. And I appreciate so much seeing your photography come through, you know, that gloomy vibe. Of course, I mean, yeah, no duh speaks to me. So I love that very much. And thank you so much for being a part of this program. You know, we'll see you down the road on this thing, kid.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Jim.
Of course. And thank you, Odie. Appreciate your help with that. And thank you for listening, everyone, to Night Drift with Jim Perry on Alternative Talk, KKNW, 1150 AM Seattle. You can hear the show anytime on its podcast feed, wherever you listen to them. Go to euphemet.com for more. And I'll see you next year, everyone. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. And until the next time, keep looking up.
Follow Night Drift with Jim Perry on Spotify and subscribe on Apple Podcasts to receive new episodes of Night Drift automatically and gain access to all of our past episodes.